Hello and welcome to a Search CRM podcast. I'm Lauren Hoyt, site editor. Today we're here with Penny Reynolds, founder and senior partner for the Call Center School, a Tennessee-based company dedicated to the professional development of individuals in the call center industry. Penny has spent over 20 years in the call center and telecommunications industry. She currently develops and teaches courses on a wide variety of call center topics and speaks at many industry conferences and association meetings. Penny's here with us today to share insight and tips on motivating call center agents and help us understand why this is one of the most important aspects of call center management. Penny, thank you for being here today.
Well, Lauren, thank you for the invitation. We're delighted to share our thoughts on the topic today.
Can you start off by explaining some of the methods that companies use to keep agents motivated?
Well, I think that's a great question to get us started, because I think one of the basic principles of motivation is that you need many different methodologies. It's not just one thing you do, but there are many different categories. We tend to break these down into really six different areas, and each organization, each supervisor, is going to focus on some combination of these six to really put together a good motivational program. The first one of these is just basically supervisor guidance and support. This category is really the just sort of time spent category. Just being there, stopping by to chat for a few minutes each day, kind of that just social bond that's formed between the supervisor and the employee. So that's the first one. Second one is recognition. And this is just basically recognition, acknowledgement that you're here today, that you're doing a good job in this area. It's just the fact that we've noticed that you're doing things right, that you're doing things well. Third category is the other R, the reward category. And when many organizations think about motivation, they think about rewards and stuff, giving their people stuff. And that's nice to get some of these rewards and, you know, prizes and that sort of thing, and whether it's money or movie tickets or whatever. Those things are nice, but it's only one small component in an overall recognition and motivation program. So number three is reward. Number four is really development opportunities. Everybody likes to learn new things. They like to feel like they're progressing. And so a learning and development program and plan for each individual is a very important component of motivation. Fifth one is being a part of a team. People will be more motivated. They're going to be more likely to want to come into work if they feel a part of things, if they feel a part of a group. So one of the strategies for motivation is to create this team environment, this family sort of environment. And then the sixth one is basically, how much fun are we having? Sort of the category of what are all the games, the activities, so forth, that we can keep people coming in because they don't want to miss out on the fun every day. So those are the six categories, and all of those are really critical to have in place.
Now, of those methodologies you just mentioned, which do you feel is most effective?
Well, the key there is I don't think there's any single one. For some people, they're going to be more motivated by the learning and growth opportunities they have. Another person may really be into the prizes. Somebody else just likes that warm, cozy feeling they have with their supervisor supporting them. So it's going to vary by individual, and I think that's really one of the key things to understand about motivation is that everybody's different. So you don't have just an overall motivation plan or an overall retention plan. You may have to do some things that apply to everyone, but then it's really about each supervisor understanding that employee and what are the most important components of all six of these that are really going to take hold and work with that single individual.
What should call center managers look for when interviewing new agents? How can they spot an agent that will be easily motivated?
Ooh, I wish there were a recipe for success, a guarantee for success on that one. It's important to interview for personality attributes. We tend to, in call centers sometimes, focus so much on the capabilities, the knowledge and skill piece when we're doing the interviewing. And we fail sometimes to really get the personality fit. So we end up with an individual that's wrong for the job in the first place. They just really are not going to like doing this kind of work, even though they're completely capable of doing it. And therefore, it gives us a much harder job in the long run to keep that individual motivated on an ongoing basis. So we want to look for some of the personality traits that are a good match for call centers. And, you know, one of the traits that I've heard someone say once, and I think this is a great thing to look for, And that's just sort of looking for the personality trait of optimism, just sort of always seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. You know, those are the kind of people you don't have to work as hard to keep motivated day in and day out.
As you know, turnover in the call center is an age-old problem. What about the call center makes turnover so common, and what do you think managers can do about that?
Well, I think it's a tough job, and sometimes it's sometimes a bit of a thankless job. So there are certain components about just working in a call center environment, such as the inflexibility in schedules. There may be other people throughout the organization that sort of, you know, it doesn't really matter when they come into work as long as it's between 8 and 10 and they put their 8 hours in the day and they go home. But in the call center, we really care. You know, it makes a big difference to us, given that we're at the mercy of the inbound calls, whether someone's starting at 8 versus 8:05. So this inflexibility we have in this whole scheduling process and, you know, the flexibility to be off the phones, I think you combine that with the somewhat repetitious nature of the work that may, you know, bore people over time, the fact that they're just being monitored and watched so carefully. You know, all those factors combine make this a little bit more, you know, undesirable work environment for many people. And therefore, we've got to make sure that we're doing the right things to compensate for those and to overcome those to keep them motivated and excited to come into work every day. Because that's surely going to translate into a motivation and excitement and a sincerity that's going to come across to our customers.
What are some basic guidelines you would give new or under-experienced managers on how to motivate staff?
I think this is one of the biggest gaps that we see sometimes in this area is that we have people being put into new supervisory positions because they themselves were good on the telephone. So we make that person a supervisor. Yet in many cases, we neglect to equip them with the kind of skills they're going to need and the kind of knowledge, just basic knowledge of human behavior and performance to know how to coach, how to motivate these individuals on the phone. So one of the biggest gaps that I see is the group of people in this middle management area not having the knowledge and skills and capabilities to know how to do this. So I think they all need some training and basic guidelines. You know, some of those guidelines are it's about getting to know each employee and, you know, what makes them jump out of bed excited to go to work in the morning versus hitting the snooze button, and then applying that in a very consistent, timely way, whether it's, once again, some people just need the attention. They need the time spent with them every day. They don't care so much about the monetary or the prize, rewards kind of thing, but they want more time spent with them. Whereas others are really much more self-managed. They don't really want that much attention, yet they are going to be, you know, working hard to win the prizes, to win the contest. Others are going to be very much motivated by team activities. Others are going to be excited about getting to learn a new skill and learn to do something differently. So I think the most basic guideline I could provide here is that there is no basic guideline. It's all about individual motivational strategies, not an overall, here are the five steps you can use. So each supervisor, I think, needs to understand that, you know, there are six different categories of motivation, and for each person, which top one or two or three are probably going to be different. So it's all about getting to know that person and applying the right techniques. No easy answer on that one, sorry.
More and more organizations are making use of remote or at-home agents. In your opinion, are the motivation tactics any different for those type of agents?
Well, I'm a huge, huge fan of the work-at-home arrangement and remote agents. I think it solves so many problems that we have today in call centers, starting with the whole, I can't get people to work this odd set of hours that I need to cover. I can't ask them to come into the call center and do that, but guess what? It works great from home. And given the higher and higher cost of transportation and all these things, I mean, the work-at-home arrangement makes so much sense. One of the considerations is, you know, you don't have as much face-to-face time a supervisor doesn't have the same, you know, time spent with, they may not remember that they need to spend time with this person because they're not walking by their desk every day. So I think one of the key elements to remember there to make the work at home arrangement successful is to make sure that the supervisor is planning into each day enough time to spend not with just the people right there in front of them, but also time to, you know, call up on the phone, to send an email, to arrange time for some one-to-one time with them, to make sure that they are getting that guidance and support, to make sure that we're taking time out. Oh, I just heard you, you know, I just monitored one of your calls, and, you know, you did a fantastic job on this, you know, great work. You know, I wish I were here to tell you in person, but, you know, great job on that, whether it's a phone call or an email. So we've got to make time for that in the schedule. Those people working remotely may not have some of the same training and development opportunities that may be a, you know, a brown bag lunch thing that we're doing in the call center or an in-center class kind of thing. So we've got to make sure that we figure out how to make sure their development continues. It's also difficult for them to sort of be a part of the team kind of environment. You know, they're missing out on the potluck lunches. So what do we do to make them part of the team? So I think it takes a little bit of extra effort and creativity to include them in team activities and, you know, games and contests and all that sort of thing. So it's a little bit more work. It's absolutely worth it because what we find is some of those remote agents are more highly motivated individuals anyway, and they're performing well at home. But we don't need to neglect them just because, you know, they're not in our face in front of us every day.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see managers make related to motivating call center agents?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes is, and you know, it's not really the supervisor's and manager's fault sometimes, but you know, supervisors have a whole lot to do, and in many call centers, they wear an awful lot of hats. So I think the biggest mistake is not carving out enough devoted time just to devote to things that are going to motivate the staff. So enough time spent with each individual, enough time to make sure that I'm taking time to go right now to recognize something that I've just heard this person do exceptionally well, making time to carve out and sitting down and figuring out a development opportunity that might be coming up. So one of the biggest mistakes is, again, not carving out enough time per individual to do these sort of things. It's not the kind of thing that you can say, okay, well, we're going to cover all this for everybody for 20 minutes in the next team meeting, and that way I'll cover all 12 people in that 20 minutes, and I can check that one off. People really need the individual attention. So that's one thing is not making enough time for the individual attention. I think the other mistakes are probably not doing it often enough. You know, it's a basic psychological principle that when you give recognition, that you need to do it often enough for it to keep taking hold. So it's not enough to do it once and think, okay, that individual knows that that's a good thing to do, we appreciate that, so okay, keep doing it. It needs to be, you know, we don't have to do it every single time they do something well, but enough, in psychological terms, it's called intermittent reinforcement, we need to do it often enough that it's keeping it fresh. They're making the mental link between, I did this, I got recognized, I'm going to keep doing this. So not doing it often enough, and I think the other part is not doing it soon enough after the desirable behaviors have occurred, not providing the recognition, the feedback soon enough afterwards for it to really take hold and make them feel good about doing it. Once again, supervisors don't have enough hours in their day to do this, but it's important that as soon as you catch someone doing something right, you see it done, you hear it done well, then you need to go reward and recognize immediately, which keeps people motivated to, oh, I want to do that again. That gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm going to do that again. That's a real key element of motivation in general is to do it on a timely basis and to do it on a very consistent basis if you want it to take hold and work.
How can call center technology help support efforts to motivate agents?
In terms of the relationship between technology and motivation, technology can certainly support it. If you have technology in place that's not working well and it's frustrating getting from screen to screen and, you know, the applications just aren't there to help them do their jobs, that's awfully frustrating. And that certainly does not really support our whole motivation program. So I see really technology as being a supporting factor, kind of a hygiene factor. If it's not there, it's a problem. But just because it's there doesn't mean that, woohoo, we're motivated. So I think it's a supporting factor. It has to be there. But in terms of, okay, if we put this technology in place and we automate this and we do this, then our people are going to be much happier and motivated. And I think that some call centers always want the easy way out and an easy answer. So let's buy something, and that'll make our people happier. And so I think motivation is much more a psychological people principle. And not something that we can purchase any piece of technology to fix or make better. It has to be there to support and provide the basic groundwork. Everything needs to work. We want to make their lives as easy as possible to make their, you know, their job as easy as possible to do. But technology alone is not a motivator.
Honey, thank you so much for sharing your insight today. And thanks to our listeners for being here. Visit Search CRM to learn more about our call center podcasts. Until next time, I'm Lauren Hoyt for Search CRM.